Welcome to Unbreakable Latina. Hi guys, welcome back to Unbreakable Latina. This is your host Melina. I hope you're having an amazing day, whatever day you're listening to this on. I am recording on Sunday. It's 7:30 in the evening. It took me a long time to get here to record. I had a mess in my room because I did laundry, and you know, the hardest part of doing laundry is putting it away. So today I actually had a hot girl walk in the morning with the Miggy Social Club that I created, a month ago. And it was very last minute because I did not realize how the month just flew by. And next week I'll be out of town, so I wasn't able to do a meetup, and I didn't want to not be doing my monthly meetups because that's the goal, is to do monthly meetups. I want to do more things. But it was a great turnout. 200 people RSVP'd, but only like 50 showed up. So now I learned my lesson that I'm just gonna let everyone be approved for the RSVP and then see how many people show up. So the goal is to go to Orange County next month. I want to do the monthly hike there because I know a lot of my listeners live in Orange County, so I want to do a trail out there. My little sister lives out there, so we're going to organize that. I'll let you guys know, hopefully with more time. It's just I am very impulsive and I'll just plan things from one day to the other, which is weird because I really like plans. So I don't know. Something's wrong with me. But anyways, I'm doing the damn thing after so many times of telling you guys that I was going to have meetups. And I want to do a Quakes game if you're local to the IE or if you want to travel over here. It's a minor league of the Dodgers. And we are planning to do that in May, and then go to OC for the hike. And yeah, I'm excited. I just added more to my plate, but I love it. It was really beautiful just seeing women come together and become friends. It gets really lonely as you get older and you lose the friendships that you had when you were younger. And there was a few young girls, but mostly everybody was like in their like late 20s, early 30s. And I think some people were in their early 40s, but it was so much fun. I got really hot. I think I was overheated because my mom and I went to eat breakfast right after, and when I got home I was just like laying on the couch overheated and I did not want to do anything, so I rested for a bit. Yesterday my mom and I just went to do some retail therapy. And is it just me, or when you actually feel like spending money, because I got some gift cards for my birthday and some money, so I said I'm gonna treat myself to some outfits. I couldn't find anything. I went to like every store available. No, I'm just kidding. I went to my Ross, my TJ Maxx, y nada. So I was disappointed. So I still got money, honey. I'm gonna be hanging out with Angela next weekend. We're going to Palm Springs to celebrate her birthday, and I'm really excited just to relax by the pool and kind of wind down because it's been a very busy month. April is usually like crazy for me. It's probably because it's my birthday. Me siento viva. But yeah, that's the updates that I have for you guys. What else? Oh, let me tell you some tea. So me being the chistosita que soy, my friend Jazz posted a video of her and her husband going to a buffet date. And she said, tell your mans, like on her caption, it said, send this to your mans and tell him to take you on a date to the buffet. And me being the silly goose that I am, I said, I don't have a man, but if any men in Orange County want to take me out, the DMs are open. Girl, when I tell you my DMs were popping, pero eran puros niños. Like, it was pure. They were really sweet, but they're a bunch of 20-something-year-old guys. And I thought to myself, am I in my cougar era? Like, should I enter that era? And then I said, no, there's no way, I can't deal. But who knows? I mejor ocupo un colágeno, amigas. Anyways, yeah, the DMs were popping. And then some guys were jokingly saying, like, pick me up. And so I commented back and I said, I'm going to send permission slips to your parents so you guys can get them signed. And that way I could take you out. And then the comments stopped. But yeah, it was really funny. I was cracking up on Friday evening when I was getting my nails did. Oh my God, let me tell you about my nails. So I know I said I was going to stop doing my nails and I was going to do press-ons because I was trying to save money and I think it's a waste of time, which I still do, but I like to have my nails done because they look pretty. I called my nail shop and my nail lady wasn't there. She wasn't available. I think she's on vacation or something because she's literally always there. You know, estaba. And the guy at the nail shop was like, well, I could set you up with somebody else. And I said, well, who? Because I wanted to see if I remembered one of their names, because I usually just go to this lady. I've been going to her for like a year now. And he told me, and I'm like, I think that lady just does pedicures this whole time. And he's like, yeah, she'll do your nails. And I was so desperate because my nails were looking really crusted, dusted. So I went. And when I tell you that as soon as she was taking off my dip powder, I was just like, oh, man, my girl is not experienced in doing dip. She just kept shaving down my nails. And I was like, great, they're going to get all thinned out. But ya ni modo, I already had committed. And one thing that I know about me is always listen to your gut. And I didn't listen to my gut. And my gut told me, like, don't go, just wait. But I really want to get my nails done because the only time that I have to do them. So I go and the lady's taking off my nails and then she's putting on the new dip and she's like, oh, how are you liking it? Like in the middle. And old me would have just said, oh, it's fine. But new me, I'm like, no, like there's absolutely no way I'm walking out with this crooked ass nail. So I was like, I'm sorry, but like they're really crooked. So I started telling her where they were crooked and she's like, okay. And she started fixing it and I was like directing her on where to fix it. She was super sweet, which made it more difficult because I felt like such a biatch. And she fixed my nail and they're okay. They're not like my girl that usually does them, but they're okay. And I was so proud of myself for like standing up for myself for once, and that she was very receptive to hearing my criticism on her work. But if anything, this was the lesson to listen to your gut and don't cheat on your nail lady, your eyebrow lady. Speaking of eyebrows, my eyebrow lady, my girl Blanca, she doesn't work the hours that she used to anymore. So I'm trying to get in there because my brows grow so fast. So I'm trying to like do an upkeep, but I don't want to go to anybody else. I will suffer and have caterpillar brows until I could see her, because there's no way. I've gotten done dirty. I had McDonald's eyebrows one time. Like, raise your hand if you've been personally victimized by somebody that did your eyebrows and it turned out to be terrible, because you should see when I had McDonald's eyebrows. Oh my god, because I'm a hair girl, you guys already know that. So I got wax, like one of my first times that I got my eyebrows done, y me hicieron como una M de McDonald's. It was terrible. So estoy tramada. Okay, I feel like I'm going 1,000 miles per hour. I'm talking really fast. But I just got so much information in my brains right now. So on today's episode, I wanted to talk about embracing my Mexican heritage. I've talked about a similar subject, like ni de aquí ni de allá. I forgot what the episode name was. Anyways, if this is a refresher, it's been a long time since I talked about this. But the reason that I'm talking about this is because when my sister and I were in Mexico, cuando fuimos a Oaxaca, we were talking about how we don't know a lot about our culture or about our family. And the reason that that came up was because we thought it was so beautiful how in Oaxaca, family is so important. And just the conversations that we had with people from there and how they teach their kids to do the art that their parents taught them to do. And just it goes from generation to generation. And I feel like a lot of us feel kind of lost sometimes, because I used to be the type of person that was kind of embarrassed of being Mexicana. And I am not afraid to admit that. I've talked about this with other friends and they said they had similar experiences, because my parents came to the United States when my mom was about 13 and my dad was about 14, I think. So they left their families for a better life. And we were all born here. All my siblings were born here. And my grandmother on my dad's side passed away when I was two. And then my mom's mom, my grandmother on my mom's side passed away when I was 3. So I never had like a abuelita. I had a abuelita growing up, but no tengo memorias. I don't have memories of my grandmas. My grandfather on my mother's side, he was not present. He was an absent dad for her. So he was an absent grandparent. And then my dad's dad, I interacted a little bit with him. He's my parrico, and I didn't really know him so well, but I just remember him like cutting fruit for me and being funny and singing songs. Pero es todo lo que me acuerdo. Like, I don't remember a lot. So I never had the opportunity to, like, ask questions like, okay, well, how were your parents like? And how was your life like? And it's kind of sad. It makes me a little sad. And I feel like I always felt lost. And, you know, when you're here as a Mexican-American kid, you grew up in a house, like, I grew up in a house where we only spoke Spanish at home. So when I went to school, I was so lost. I didn't know the language. Thankfully, we had bilingual classes back then. I don't know if they have those now. But there was kids like me. And I grew up in LA, so there was a lot of Hispanic people and there was a lot of culture. But at the same time, when you went to school, you were learning English and the new culture, not new culture to me, but the culture in America. So a lot of stuff that, you know, my parents grew up with, I didn't grow up with. I don't know. Like, I can't remember a lot from my childhood, but I do remember that I never wanted to admit that I like banda music. And I never wanted to admit that I listened to Vicente Fernandez at home. I always wanted to be cool, like my brother, because my brother really was so against, like, any banda music. He hated it. He was always into his, like, Nirvana and Led Zeppelin. That's what he would listen to, and rap music. So I wanted to be so much like my brother that I would be like, oh, well, I like this music. And I think about it now, I'm like, why didn't I want to have my own identity? But I guess it's like when you are younger, you really look up to your older siblings and you want to be just like them. So I think that was part of the reason why I neglected to admit that I like banda music. And looking back now, also another factor that I feel like is huge is that I grew up very close to my mom's side of the family, and most of my aunts are like second generation Latinas, third generation, that married my uncles who came also to the United States when they were very young. So half of my family is very Americanized. We used to go to Mexico with on my dad's side from Jalisco. We would go to Jalisco when I was little, but I didn't appreciate the culture when I was little. And that's what I was telling my sister. And my sister, like, once my sister was born, I think we only went a few times to Mexico. And we didn't really go as often as we would have wanted to because there was no money for that. Once my sister was born, I think she was born in 97. I think a few years later, within 5-6 years later, my parents bought a home. So there was no money for vacations and there was no money to, like, connect with our roots. And I think I tell my sister, like, oh, do you remember this? Like, no, I don't remember that. And I was like, oh, like, I was telling her about my Papa Rico, which is my dad's dad, and how he was a really good artist and he did sculptures and he was really into, like, crafty stuff. And I have a lot of cousins who are very good at drawing because they inherited that trait or they inherited the singing. I didn't inherit any of that, but I feel like they were also more connected because my dad was very, he was close to his family, but not like to a point where he would share stories, or at least from what I could remember of my dad being in my life, like, he never really shared stuff. And I feel like women, like my tias, I learned more from my tias about what they would share when we would have family get-togethers. But as you guys know, if you've been following me for a while, unfortunately, a lot of my aunts that I was close to on my dad's side have passed away. And that was like the connection that we had to the culture or to the history of the Sevilla family, which is my dad's side of the family. And on my mom's side, I have my mom, thankfully, that I've been asking like a lot of questions lately now that I'm getting more grown and I want to like connect with my roots. And I've been asking her a lot of questions like, you know, how did grandma meet grandpa, or how did my grandma meet her husband? I don't call him grandpa. I don't know why I'm saying that. But how did my grandma meet her husband, and how did they get together, and what they would do, and how they would celebrate, or just different things. Like the other day we were looking up, like, what is the story behind making capirotada for Lent? Because my mom wanted to make capirotada for Lent and she didn't. And right now she's making it actually. But we were just, what's the reasoning behind it? And there's just a lot of stuff that even my mom has to look up because she came here so young. Like, although she has a lot of memories, my mom has an amazing memory. I have the worst. She tells me stories about how they used to go to church and, like, they would go to the feria and how my grandma used to try to make the best for them, even though they didn't have a lot of money. And I try to talk about those conversations, but it makes me sad that I don't know more. Like, I wish I had my grandparents here where I could ask them questions. And I was little back then. I didn't really, you know, talk to them. And they passed away very early in my life. And I remember, like, growing up, like I told you guys, I didn't want to admit that I like banda, but I knew all the music. I have an aunt on my dad's side who lived with us for a little bit. And she would listen to Banda Limón, Banda Recodo. Y me las sé todas because my tía would, like, clean her house and, like, she would be singing. And then she'll, like, have her little cassettes and I would listen to them. And, you know, my mom listened to, like, Pepe Aguilar, Vicente Fernandez, and my dad. Then my dad has this little gangster era, so he would listen to Dr. Dre. But I grew up with that music. But going to, like, our Mexican parties and, like, then I would, you hear that music, y no sabes cómo, like, you don't know how you know it, but you know it. And it's funny because some people be like, you know that song? And I'm like, yeah, how did you learn it? I don't even know. Like, back then, we didn't have AZ lyrics. So it's just that memoria, and it brings you back to certain times, like birthday parties. And I don't know, I was just thinking about how I feel like I'm missing out a lot and how I used to not be proud of where I came from. But as I grew older and, you know, like that one scene from Selena where, like, we're not Mexican enough for the Mexicans and we're not American enough for the Americans. I've felt like that my whole life until I started visiting Mexico. The last time that I went to Mexico, to Jalisco, where my dad's from, well, like to the pueblo where my dad's from, I was about 13 and my mom didn't go. It was just me and my dad. I remember my dad had said he was gonna go and I was like, I want to go. And my mom was like, are you sure? And my mom had my little sister, so she was tiny and they didn't, I don't know why. I think my brother was still in school or something. Anyways, my mom let me go with my dad and it was like one of the best times ever because I was more grown. I kind of, like, you know, me iba de novia a la plaza. Like, I would go with my cousins and, like, we met guys and they bought us flowers. It's very romanticona. Me vine como con dos novios. So I totally, like, get when I see TikToks of people saying, like, me vine con dos novios de Mexico. And I really wish that I would have appreciated more when I was a kid. But then, you know how my family story is. Like, my dad's no longer part of my life. And I had a lot of people pass on my dad's side. So I don't feel like I could just go to Jalisco where my dad's from and be like, hey, you know, like, I'm here, teach me about my family. Because it just doesn't work that way. Like, everybody either has came over here or, you know, like, we don't talk to them. So it kind of makes me sad that I can't connect with my culture. But I was telling my sister, like, it's important for us to try to have some traditions. And the tradition that my family and I have right now that I could think of is that we always have tamales. Like, we get together and make tamales, and I think it's one of my favorite things to do, even though it's a lot of work. And sometimes I think about, like, damn, like, the day that my mom can't make this recipe, like, I'm gonna have to be responsible for this. So me and my sister will figure it out, I'm sure. But it's a lot of work. Like, my mom gets down, my uncle, my aunt. It's a beautiful tradition that we have. So I just think it's important to ask your parents, like, if you guys are lucky enough to have grandparents or to have your parents, ask them about their culture. Like, they love to talk about it. Like, lately, me and my mom have had really deep conversations. And I think it's just because I'm getting older and I'm realizing that time flies and that I don't know anything about my background. Like, although I try to know, I think I know a little more than some people. But I think that we have to remind ourselves that our cultura is really beautiful. And even though we are Mexican-American, we still need to learn about our Mexican culture and just know where you came from. Like, once I started visiting Mexico, and just, I was so proud to be Mexican. I don't know if I'm just an emotional little biatch, but when I go to Mexico and I see, like, you know, the folklorico or, like, the traditional, when I went to Oaxaca and I saw the calendas, like, it gives me chills and it makes me very emotional. Like, oh my God, like my people are so cool. Y la mera verdad, that once I started going to Mexico, I felt like I belonged somewhere. Because I've always felt like I never fit in, like, in the American culture. Because, like I said, I'm not American enough. And with the Mexican culture, a veces no sentía que I would fit in because I didn't know about it. Or I didn't know things about it. And now that I've been visiting Mexico and I get to know, like, the history behind it, I think I just feel more connected to my roots than I've ever felt. And it's so beautiful once you feel connected and you feel like you belong and you're like, even though I don't speak the best Spanish or the most perfect, I am from two worlds. I am Mexican American and I'm very proud of who I am and how lucky I am to have two cultures. And, you know, sometimes it's frowned upon, like when you say a word wrong. I always get called out all the time for pronouncing words wrong in English. Like, oh my God, you said it this way. Like your accent came out. And I used to feel very embarrassed to say certain words or the way I talk. Y ahora me vale madre. I'm like, I always ask people, do you speak another language? Exactly. So English is my second language. If I don't pronounce it perfect, oh well. And honestly, one of the biggest lessons that I've had in the last couple years is to stop making fun of No Sabo kids, because at least they're trying. I used to make fun of my brother so much for mispronouncing words, and he's always been made fun of. So now thinking back, I'm like, maybe he was so afraid to speak Spanish because, like, my cousins in Mexico le hacían la burla, or, like, you know, we would laugh at him. And one thing about my brother is that he grew up with my mom's side of the family, who had, like I told you guys, it was my aunts were like second, third generation. So they spoke pure English to their kids. And basically from my cousins, I believe only a few speak Spanish like fluently. So I've been reflecting on what tradiciones my family has and the cultura que nos inculcaron and whatever my parents taught us. And I took a little break to have dinner, and I was talking to my mom about how I'm doing this episode, about how when we went to Mexico, que we feel like we're losing our culture. And it's so important to just ask, because that's how we're gonna tell stories. You know, I feel like a lot of us get caught up in this fast life that we have now, and we're so distracted with social media, and we don't really take a moment to take in, like, a lot of things. And I am guilty of that. I can attest to that I am not your poster child for taking in every moment. I get so distracted with my phone sometimes that I get annoyed with myself. I've talked about this before, where sometimes I feel like I'm addicted to my phone, but also I do social media, so then there's that. And there has to be a balance, and I think a lot of it is like disconnecting, putting your phone down when you're at family parties. And yes, you want to document stuff, but the best times that I've had with my family is when we all, like, just are caught up in the moment without our phones. And recently, actually, for my birthday, when my family came over last weekend, I didn't take any pictures with anybody. And my mom's like, no, toma fotos con tus tíos. And it was because we were so caught up in the conversation. And my family doesn't get together as much as I would like to. I try, but your girl, like, now I have all this going on, and I'm always been kind of the one that's like, hey, what are you guys doing? Like, let's hang out, or let's do this. Siempre soy la que estoy uniendo a la familia. Y ahora que tengo my little babies, my podcast, and now the Amigui social clubs, I get busy. But I really like how cuando fuimos a Mexico, all the people were having, like, dinner with their families on Sundays, and a lot of businesses were closed, and they were ting. So one of the tour guides was talking about how family is very united in Mexico. And I've seen it time and time again. Like, it's so beautiful to see families unite. And maybe because I don't have that, maybe some of you guys do have that, I feel like I'm missing out. And antes hacíamos carne asadas all the time. When my family, we get all together. And I think a lot of the issues that come after parents separate or there's deaths in the family is that we lose those traditions, we lose those values, because there's that one person that kept it going. I remember being a kid and going to Tijuana to my tia Eva's, like, grocery store that she had out there. Those were some of the best memories. I remember working, pretending like I was part of, well, I wasn't pretending, like, my tia was there. Yo atendía la gente según with my Spanish that I knew. And then they would ask me for stuff, and and I didn't know how to respond, or I didn't know like pesos, I didn't know how to charge. But it was some of the best memories, like carnita asadas, where it, and I was just telling my mom, we need to have a carne asada, but like a traditional one con los nopales, los frijoles. And she was like, let's do it this summer. I also remember being a kid and we had no options then to watch Sábado Gigante. I don't know if you guys are old enough or young enough to remember Sábado Gigante, but that was like the way my family and I would sit together. We would watch Sábado Gigante. Sometimes we would watch America's Most Wanted, but we were all together. Why? Because there wasn't distractions. There wasn't phones. Now, I feel like a lot of families, at least the ones that I know, we're on our phones and we're just sitting there together. Like, I've caught myself being at my uncle's house and we're all just laying on the couch on our phones, sitting next to each other, not connecting. It's kind of sad. I guess the whole point of this episode, I know I was all over the place and I'm just telling you all of my traumas, but that's what I do. The whole point of this is that if you feel like you're losing your traditions or your culture, don't forget where we came from. Don't forget where your family came from. Be that person that reminds people like, hey, like, you know, we used to get together and do this. Like, why don't we get together and do that? And I feel like it's my job and my family to do that. And sometimes it feels overwhelming because you're like, why do I always have to be the one? But it's beautiful once we all come together. The other day when my family was over, I was like, when's the last time that we were all together and like at a house having food? It's been a long time. Like, we have barbecues and like things, but then it's not just family. It's like friends, and nothing wrong with friends, but it's different when it's just family. And I really enjoy that. And I hope that I am that person that brings my family together in the future for my nieces, nephews, and if I ever have children. But don't forget where you came from. It's okay to have two cultures. You're Mexican American. You could embrace both cultures at the same time. And I have these cultures because my family, my parents decided to come here for a better life and to give us opportunities that they didn't have. So I will forever be grateful and I will forever take into consideration their sacrifices and the fact that I could speak two languages because of them and I have those culturas. I'm a proud Mexican American girly, and I hope that you found this episode interesting or inspiring. Let me know what you guys think. Do you guys sometimes struggle with the fact that you're Mexican American or that you're losing your culture? Let me know in the show notes or in the post. I would really appreciate it. I want to hear what you guys have to say. I also want to tell you guys, I did tell you guys earlier that I am taking next week off. So I won't be doing a podcast, but Angela and I are going to be recording the following week, I believe. And then I have another episode that I want to do with my mom. I don't know if you guys have seen the one viral video that's going on TikTok about how this girl's talking about her grandma, like how her grandfather stalked the grandma and that's why se la robó y se casó con ella. And I was just really into watching all those videos and how crazy it was back then, like to have basically se las robaban. Like, it's true what they say, like they would steal the women and marry them at very young ages with these older men. And now I'm like, this is why we have trouble dating now. My mind was blown and my mom was sharing stories about my grandma and how she met her husband. And I was just like shocked. So I want to talk about that with my mom because it's true. Antes se las robaban. They would get kidnapped and that's how they would become brides. So it's kind of sad to think about because they were very young and marrying these older men. But that's a whole nother episode that I want to talk about. And if you guys want to share your stories, I would love to hear them about your traumas of how your grandmas ended up with your grandfathers, or if it was a true love story, or if they rebelled and didn't run away with that person. But anyways, it was crazy to me. I was so mind blown by all those videos. If you haven't seen them, I'll post them when I post that one episode because I want to do that one with my mom. I hope you guys have a great week. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. Follow me at Unbreakable Latina on TikTok, on Instagram, and I'll talk to you guys soon. Bye.